Welcome to Career Tours. How being a control freak is ruining your career, part two. The questions this cast answers are, why being a control freak is not a good thing, and how quality can be sacrificed.
Folks, any cast about stopping being a control freak probably means you need help with relationships as well. My recommendation for that is always to come to our Effective Communicator Conference. There are some people you naturally click with. You know those people. It's great. But they're a minority, right? And that's because they behave the same as you. They tend to engage in the same types of behaviors and communication that you do. In order to be really effective with everybody, to click with more people, you have to learn how to change your behavior. Not a lot, just slightly, move in other people's directions. And the Effective Communicator Conference training won some awards for its structure and delivery, and maybe the most important thing I ever learned in my professional life. So come to the website, check out ECC, and stop being a control freak.
Last week, we talked about being a control freak, what that means, and we tried to convince you that giving up quality for the relationship is at least 50% of the time a good idea. So now we're going to talk about actually how you do that and how you balance the scale in specific instances. So the first thing you want to do is ask, how much does it matter? And then, depending on the answer, you take one of these three steps. If it doesn't matter much or at all, let it go. If it matters, be private about it. And if it really matters, you can be public, but not critical. So let me do those again. If it doesn't matter much or at all, let it go. If it matters, be private about it. And if it really matters, then you can be public, but not critical.
So when we say, how much does it matter? We're not asking, how much does it matter that it's correct? Or how much does it matter that my plan is the one that's followed? What we're asking is, how much does it matter to the successful conclusion of whatever it is? Here's a simple example. When a child sets the table for dinner with a knife, a fork, and a spoon, a lot of times the placement isn't where they actually belong.
Right. They get the knife and fork mixed up, right?
Absolutely. If you were asking the question, how much does it matter that it's correct? You could answer a lot. You know, you want your child to learn the right answer after all, right? That's part of raising a child. If the question is, how much does it matter if the goal for us is to eat our dinner tonight, right? Then the answer is, well, hardly at all. Everyone's going to pick up the knife and fork and put them in the right hands and eat without probably even noticing where they were or anything. No one's going to go hungry is the point, right? No one's going to go hungry because the knife and fork were in the wrong place. Over time, you may want the positioning to be correct more times than it's not. And, you know, if your child continuously mixes it up, then you might have to give a couple hints or guide there. But one instance is not a big deal, right? That instance is easy to forgive.
Yeah, because when you ask the question, does it matter? It's, does it matter if we eat tonight? It's not, does it matter overall? It's just, the goal is for the family to be fed.
Right.
The goal isn't for correctness every time. So when you're at work, just try and remember that. What's the actual goal? The goal isn't to be correct. The goal is to not be hungry. So here's some scenarios where we're going to walk through this. So the first one is an incorrect fact in a meeting. For some facts, it doesn't matter much, so you can let it go. So you're in a meeting, you're all looking at a document, and someone says 2021 instead of 2022. Right? And your inclination is to correct them because you want the record to be right. You want what was said to be correct. Mm-hmm. And if we ask you, you'd say, yes, it matters, because of course it matters, right? Mm-hmm. But what matters more, the record being correct or your relationship with this person?
Right.
Right. Because what happens when you correct someone is they hear, you're wrong, I'm right. Being right is more important than my relationship with you. And that's not what you meant, but that's what they hear. And we've said this before, we judge ourselves by our intent. I was just trying to be helpful. They judge us by what we did and what we said, right? And it's not fair because they don't think of it. They hear something and it's not what you mean, but it's what we do and you do it too. So, you know, that's human nature. So instead you ask yourself, does it matter? Does everybody know that she meant 2022? If you're all looking at the same document and there are only 2022 dates on it and she's reading the dates, probably everybody heard it and went, oh, she meant 2022. They all did it in their brain. So you don't correct her. In this case, you fall all the way on the side of the relationship and you just let it go because it didn't matter.
Yeah. Now, if it matters, be private about it. That's step two. So if it matters, then there are still ways to, quote, set the record straight without tipping the balance all the way over to quality. Can you correct her in private after the meeting? Perhaps she was reviewing a document that will be going on to another team, and it's, you know, it's perfectly obvious that 2021 should be 2022. So you don't correct her in the meeting, but you do want to make sure that the document is accurate when it's passed on. So after the meeting, you say, hey, Julie, I noticed on page 3, you have 2021 rather than 2022. It's just a little thing, but I thought you'd want to correct it before you sent it on. That's it.
It's just a little thing. And you do it in private. You don't have to do it in front of everybody.
Right.
So the next one is, if it really matters, then you can be public, but don't be critical. And so if that 2021, 2022 number really matters, and remember, you are likely to weight it on the side of mattering more than most, so discount yourself a little bit, then you can correct in public. But don't use your usual tone. If you've been called a control freak or something similar, then your normal tone is probably critical. So soften your voice. Talk at the same speed and volume as everybody else in the meeting. Introduce your interjection with an apology and frame it as your misunderstanding, not their mistake. Ask a question. So something like, I'm sorry, Julie, I think this is 2021 and it should be 2022, right? Maybe I misunderstood and we've not moved on. Or, my apologies, I'm confused. I thought I heard you say 2021, but you said 22, right? We're asking a question and we're framing it as our misunderstanding. Or, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you just confirm we're on 2022? Perhaps I skipped a page or something and I've got lost. Just give them the opportunity to correct it without sounding like you're correcting it, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you will have made a mistake. You know, it's been known that I've made a mistake in a meeting and I've read something and I've gone, that should be 22, right? And they've gone, no, it's 21 because X, Y, and Z. And I've gone, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and there's a chance that you may hear this and think, well, isn't that passive aggressive? Listen, if you're the person who this cast was written for, you place a higher value on quality than you do on relationships, meaning that you probably also don't shy away or don't think of conflict as a bad thing.
Yeah.
So you don't mind being aggressive, right? Instead of passive aggressive. But this is how you talk if you care about your relationships with someone. If you don't want them to think that you're just pointing out their mistake, you genuinely say, hey, I'm pretty sure I heard you say 2021, but did you mean 2022? Because it looks like everything else is 2022, right? Just want to make sure, right? Framing it that way. Also, and I know some of you who are so focused on quality probably don't find yourself in this situation, certainly as much as I do, but you might actually be wrong. There's a chance exactly. that you did hear it wrong. Mm-hmm. And then if you say, oh, I'm so sorry, I think you mean 2022 and not 2021, right? And then everyone in the room goes, she said 2022. Well, it's going to feel a lot less like you have egg on your face if you say it that way than if you said, you mean 2022.
Yeah, and everyone goes, that's what she said. You know, that's exactly what like she said. The escalation of, you know, the situation. And look, if there is a mistake, everybody in the room who has spotted the mistake knows it's not your mistake. They know that that person said 21 when they meant 22, and they know that you didn't mishear it. And 9 times out of 10, the person who made the mistake will immediately say, you're right, I keep getting those mixed up, or like, you know, January, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can give a little here and still be right. You can sacrifice a little bit of your ego for the understanding of the team and the organization. You can give some of your quality energy up for the long-term balance.
Yeah. There's another podcast that touches on wording things like this, which is Teach As If Teach Not, which we've referenced several times.
Folks, if you can't afford the ECC, I think it's only $1,000. But if you can't afford it and you're looking for some help, for $30, you can take MT Disc, and that will give you insight into how you tend to behave. But more importantly, 2/3 of the document, probably 25 pages, is based on what you can do differently to be more effective. That's what professional life is like. It's always trying to become more effective. Unfortunately, for most of us, we think of the way we talk as normal, even though other people don't talk the way we talk. And we end up not connecting with people, not building strong relationships with people who are different than us. And I mean behaviorally different. And it's not hard to make some changes in your behavior, and you will massively increase your effectiveness. And MT Disc will get you started on the way. It's only $30.
So the next scenario is there's a work management spreadsheet. So if your team is developing a work management spreadsheet after the Career Tools podcast of the same name, you've listened to the podcast twice and read the show notes so you know how it should be done. Someone in your team volunteers to get the thing set up. Your inclination is to maybe take that work from them and do it yourself so it's done right, because you know you're an expert on it. Or if they really have to do it, then you'll quote unquote help them, right? Which means it really means you're going to be doing the work, or they'll just be doing the hands.
Yeah, they're doing your hands-on stuff, right? Of what you're telling them, right?
Right. You're behind the scenes. You're pulling the strings. They're actually typing it in. Yeah. So step one, if it doesn't matter much, let it go. And this spreadsheet is going to be developed over several months. The whole team is going to be using it. It's going to be iterated on over time as the team finds the things that work and the things that don't work. It doesn't matter if it's not perfect in the beginning, because what exists a month from now will look nothing like what looks like in the beginning. And we've learned in the modern world that the strategy of focusing on perfect quality on the first try is bested every time by a strategy of iteration. The first iPhone, which I think was the most successful consumer product in the last 20 years, didn't even have third-party apps initially. And those of you who have an iPhone now, you probably couldn't even imagine an iPhone being of any use to you at all without all of those third-party apps that we all use every single day. But iPhones weren't going to have any of them. It took a year for Apple staff to convince Steve Jobs to allow apps. And in 2022, Apple estimates the app economy generated $643 billion in business. The first version was not perfect and was never going to be. Nor is this spreadsheet that your team is designing. Let the other person do it. Give 100% to the relationship. In this example.
And not only let them do it, praise them for what they've done. Or, say, hey, that's a great first draft. Or I love the colors you chose. Or I never use Arial and it's such a great font. It's so clear. You can find something to praise. Stood that up so quickly. Thank you. Because speed, time against quality, you know, sometimes fast is good, especially if you're going to iterate on something like break. What is it? Move fast and break things? Fail forward and all that. Okay, so if it does matter, be private about it. So let's continue with this scenario. John sets up the spreadsheet and you can see that there's an error in one of the formulas, which means that the task won't show as red when they're overdue. And it matters because it affects the team's output and ability to correct their deadlines. It does not matter because it's incorrect. It matters because that's an indication to the team that things need to be changed or things need to be done. That's why this matters. And you're allowed to speak, allowed in inverted commas, you know, you're allowed to speak up, or we're allowing you to speak up about it. So again, when you mention it, be casual. It's a small thing. It's nothing to be excited about. You might not even be right. So in private, you say to John, hey, you might want to look at the cells on row 8. When I glanced at it, I thought they should be red and they're showing as orange. And, you know, you've been deep in this stuff and I could be misunderstanding it. It was only a quick glance, but you might want to look at it, right? Give them a chance to correct their own mistake. Don't make it a big deal, because it isn't, because this is an iterative process. And just, you could still be wrong.
Absolutely.
You're not just saying that. You could actually still be wrong.
Yeah, maybe the formula is right based on what John understands red or overdue to mean. There's right, always that exactly. That thing of if something's due today,
is it red or orange?
Is it orange until tomorrow and then it's red? Yeah, absolutely. So step 3 is, if it really matters, then you can be public, but not critical. So if it does really matter, then you could send an email copying your team and your boss. For example, you noticed that the spreadsheet had an incorrect formula, which made a bunch of tasks have the wrong deadline. That affects the team's work, and they're going to be confused if it's suddenly corrected. So you correct it, and then you send an email like this. Hey, all, you might want to look at your tasks on tab 2 of the work management spreadsheet. I noticed one of mine wasn't what I expected, and I made a small correction. I think it might have changed your deadlines too.
The other way to do this is to just email John and say, hey, mine wasn't right. Do you want to check everybody else's? And then let them know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is less public.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the gradient between step 2 and step 3,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Depending on how important you think it is.
Yeah, if nobody has looked at the spreadsheet yet and they don't know that their deadlines are about to be changed, it doesn't matter as much, right?
Totally.
If they've all looked at it, then changing it will, John correcting it will confuse everyone, because they've seen like, oh, yesterday it said I was due on the 13th and now I'm due on the 11th, and that screws everything up. So, you know, then you can be more public about it. But there is no need to point out that he made a mistake, even if it was stupid and careless, even if you would not have made the same mistake. What matters here is that the team knows when the deadlines are, not who was right. So give weight to the relationship. Don't point out that it was a mistake. Don't point out that he's wrong and you're right and you're smarter. We know. You don't need to do all of that. Everybody will work it out anyway.
Absolutely. So our last point is, err on the side of the relationship. Up until now, if you've been called a control freak or known yourself to be one, you have been 100% or close to 100% on the side of quality. You have a long way to go before you're even at 75-25. So give to the relationship far more than you think you should. Give to the relationship 9 times out of 10 for the first month. Understanding what Wendy and I talked about in the first part of this cast is that over the course of time, all of these little interactions all at once, right? Or all of these individual interactions, when you look back, if you've erred on quality, and not, I shouldn't even say erred on quality, you've deliberately chosen quality,
right?
We would say it might be erred if your relationships are suffering, but if you've chosen quality over the course of time, you have a little bit of a hole to dig yourself out of. So choose to give to the relationship 9 times out of 10 for the first month.
And we know that that seems like a recipe for disaster right now. Because if you're a control freak, it feels like those things are important and you can't give them up, because otherwise you would have done. But you are already on a route to disaster, and that's your career. What will happen will surprise you, but not us, because we've seen it with hundreds of people, including myself, because I learned this the hard way. There will be no quality crisis in your team. You'll be more successful. People will like you more, and your career will start moving again. That's what will happen. You have nothing to lose. Every time you have to weigh up quality versus relationship, go for relationship.
Yeah. Finally, we'd like to recommend a Manager Tools podcast to you. It was written for managers, but it'll give you the view from the other side of the table. How you focus on perfection and correctness and quality is seen by your manager, the one who decides what happens next in your career. So keep this podcast in mind when you waver toward quality over relationships.
And that Manager Tools podcast is called Leading Change, the Orcart.
Yeah, it's so good.
So give, give, give. It's the first rule of building a network, the first rule of being a person in society, and the first rule of overcoming control freakiness. Give to the relationship. Tip the balance towards the relationship. Put relationships first. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.